Tonight, the Merlin Project, the computer that predicts the future, trends. Paul Gersio, our special guest. So get ready for this on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Two individuals directly work on the Merlin Project. Dr. George Hart, of course, is a Star Wars physicist. He's not with us tonight. He is a part of the project. And then Paul Gersio, a nationally syndicated and respected futurist and longtime student of traditional and esoteric predictive systems. His 25 years of research into the psychological sciences and subsequent collaboration with Dr. Hart directly resulted in the creation of the Merlin Project. His clients include many prominent business people, politicians, and celebrities. And he also, Merlin, predicted my life a few years ago, and it was pretty darn accurate. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Good to talk to you again, George.
You too.
And listen, let me first right off apologize for Dr. Hart. He's been down in D.C. the last 2 weeks crunching numbers on what has become a rather successful SDI program in the last year. I don't know whether you've been watching, but the test shots that have gone off over Kauai on the West Coast have been fabulously successful. So the 23 years that George has put in doing yeoman work for SDI is finally paying off. The only problem is they're working them to death. And as he says, it keeps him off the street. But the problem is he's less available to me and tonight less available to you. So he apologizes for crashing a little early tonight. He couldn't even remember my phone number without looking it up. That's how bad it
was. He's that tired. Well, don't worry. You can carry the cross, Paul.
Well, I hope so.
Merlin, a computer-based forecasting technology. Tell me a little. You know, we get new listeners all the time. So there's some people saying, and you haven't really been with me in a long time. You did a quick bit with me on January 1st.
Right.
But some people are saying, okay, who's this Merlin? Is this the magician? What's going on here? So tell us about this computer.
I had a tough time getting Dr. Hart to go along with that name back 17, 18 years
ago. I love
ago.
The name.
So do I. But he was a little afraid it would get the wrong connotation, but it turns out I was right, he was wrong, but anyway. Merlin is a computer software program that works a little like this. If you thought of the printout from a seismographic instrument, the instrument that records earthquakes,
mm-hmm.
And you can see the initial shaking, so on, and then the very large movement of the pens as the earthquake progresses through its cycle, and so on, and you can see aftershocks and so on. Merlin is doing that with time, except it's doing it in advance. We're getting a snapshot of where in the future, from a very particular starting moment in the past, the events or circumstances are going to take some huge left turn. And while we can't always determine the form that left turn is going to take, we can find it in time, almost like map coordinates. If you thought of these new GPS satellites that can tell you within a meter or so where you actually are, or for the more sophisticated of us who have, you know, OnStar in their cars, the same idea. Merlin is actually doing that with moments of time. And each of us lives through important moments of time in our own lives, moments when we were born, moments when we started our career, when we met our wife, or we met our girlfriend, you know, or whatever. Those critical
moments, we met our demise.
That's right. Well, that too. Those critical moments all present us with a starting set of coordinates, and Merlin can then generate a picture of what the hills and valleys of the future are going to look like, measured from that moment. And the interesting thing about it is, each moment produces a different pathway into the future. So that the moment that you start something, you are in effect setting up the circumstances for the outcome of that and for the timetable of the events along the way.
The data that you need to enter into Merlin, what kind of data might that be?
Well, what we're really doing is we're entering time-related data. So, and in a sense, it's not very different from clock time, hours and minutes and seconds and weeks and months and years. The only difference is that the clocks that we generally pay attention to are far too limited. They don't give us a lock on a particular instant of time so that we can discriminate between that moment and any other. So, for instance, if I asked you to hand me, you know, August 24th, 2006, so we could compare it to, you know, July 12th, 2005, you would have no way of being able to do that. You couldn't hand me a wristwatch or a wall calendar or any of those things. There would literally be no way that you would have of handing me one moment and handing me another moment so that we could then compare them. We could see whether they would resonate well, like music, for instance, whether they would produce pleasing sounds or cacophony. What Merlin essentially does is folds into its mechanisms, the software that was designed for it, hundreds, thousands of time cycles that are going on in the solar system. Some of them, including these sort of time-honored things that we see cropping up in the writings of antiquity, for instance, in the Bible, in Shakespeare, even in our law and legal systems, things like the 7 lean years and 7 fat years, or the 7-year itch, or if you break a mirror, you get 7 years of bad luck, or the statute of limitations, which runs 7 years. Those time intervals have been noticed for thousands and thousands of years. And the reason they were noticed is because they're very real. They're actually going on. But the problem is we have never previously developed a clock designed to keep track of all of those. And if you designed a clock that and included in that clock mechanism enough of these time cycles, you'd actually be able to distinguish between one moment and another.
Was there trial and error with Merlin in the beginning, in the early days?
Well, there was trial and error in the sense that I spent, before George arrived on the scene, Dr. Hart, about something approaching 20 years of researching what we you know, like to call mystical systems,
right?
Astrology, numerology, tarot, you know, the I Ching, you know, the Mayan calendar, looking to see if these ancient peoples were actually on to something, that they had all tripped over the same information, and they had simply gone about describing it in their own particular fashion. So the American Indian blamed the cycles on the animals of the plain, and the Egyptians and the Sumerians blamed it on these dots moving across the sky, and so on. What I concluded from those 20 years of research was that all of these civilizations were essentially noticing the same something. And they were simply coming up with their own individual ways of reporting on that. And in the midst of that, obviously, they also mixed in a lot of myth and superstition of the times and so on. But if you strip away all of that, if you eliminate all of those sort of extraneous elements that were added in because it was comfortable in that society, you end up with a time system. And that's really what astrology is, what numerology is.
Sure.
It's basically a time system. And Merlin has managed to capture that in a graphical form so that we can actually see what it's going to look like in advance.
Do you still tweak Merlin, or is it just running the way it is now?
That's an interesting question. We would love to tweak it if we had enough grant money to spend our time doing nothing but tweaking. In the meanwhile, we have found over the last 17 or 18 years of doing this that the original formula for this works so beautifully that we haven't wanted to mess around with it. Now, it's interesting that when the system was designed, and it was designed by a bunch of SDI guys with time on their hands, because, of course, you know that in various administrations over the last 23 years of the SDI program, it's been more funded and less funded depending upon who was in the White House.
Sure.
Okay. So there have been periods of time over that 23 years when SDI researchers, because the research never stopped. In fact, I think it's actually true that it never stopped being funded at less than something like $3 to $5 billion a year. But there were certainly times in there when times were a little leaner, and so these fellows had time on their hands. And George, who supervised a number of these people, heard me on a radio show back in the fall of 1989. And after 6 months of the two of us getting together and sort of crunching numbers and comparing notes on what we had both noticed, he said to me, "You know, I have some SDI guys with computer time on their hands and some government supercomputers that are sitting around not doing anything. So why don't we see if we can spin this up?" And that's how it happened.
That's amazing. Well, we're going to talk about some of the past predictions of Merlin, some of the future ones tonight as well. Give us an example now, Paul, so people get an understanding of these graphs that I'm looking at right now.
What they look like?
What they look like and how you read them.
Well, they kind of look like a city skyline in profile from a distance. So you see the tall buildings and you see the empty lots. You know, and you see the shorter buildings, and you see sections where there's essentially nothing going on. Or for people who are used to looking at graphs of, say, the Dow Jones average or their favorite stock, they look a little bit like that.
And in my case, my favorite stock keeps going down, down, and down.
Well, I'll tell you, when we did your show in August of 2004, when Google first came out, and there was all that hullabaloo about their IPO, and as it turned out, it when it first, you know, its first blush,
right,
the numbers never got much higher than about $80 or $90. And what we said was, ah, yes, but wait until the spring of 05, and then wait even longer till maybe 06, and watch what happens to Google.
Boom.
Well, Google has absolutely gone through the roof. At least twice now, and has every chance of continuing doing that, because unlike a lot of things that were going on in the high-tech not late 90s, this is a real thing with you know, they're really selling something here. It's a tangible product as opposed to something that in the 90s, a lot of the high-tech companies, the computer companies, were basically giving away whatever it was. So they were showing paper profits, but nothing real. In terms of Google, this is a very real thing. And once they sort of get past this click problem that they've been faced with,
right,
where there's been alleged fraud for numbers of clicks, and people know that if you go to a Google-sponsored site, for instance, and you click on that commercial site, that the commercial site has to pay Google a certain amount of money for each click. And there's been some, you know, funny business going on.
Sure, and a definition of what is a click, right?
Excuse me?
They're trying to define what is a click and what...
Well, right, what is a click, and whether you're getting paid for more than one click, and you know, et cetera, et
yeah,
cetera, and whether people are going in and just clicking things purposely to run up the bill, you know. But...
they hire a guy to
beyond
click.
Beyond that, Google is a real serious, you know, going concern,
sure,
and so the stock and it has taken off. But if you take a look at the Merlin run for Google, you noticed that in 04, at the time of this initial public offering, this IPO, there was really no activity of any significance going on. It didn't really start to take off on the timeline, on the time track, until about 6 or 8 months later, and that is exactly when the first huge movement of the stock happened. And that's essentially what Merlin does. It's telling you where along the way, along the history of the upcoming history of the event, there is going to be a sizable change in what was the ongoing circumstance.
And you don't know if it's going to be good or bad, right?
You do not. That's right. You don't. The only way you can get some idea of whether it's going to be good or bad is to bring other information to bear on that. So it helps, for instance, to be a good news junkie. It helps to know what else is going on in that industry. Or, for instance, having the birth dates or starting dates of other key players in the situation. So the originators of Google, for instance, the companies that were involved in the initial public offering and what their corporation dates were, for instance. Those kinds of numbers would help you determine in what direction this might be going.
Well, I think that's kind of funny because I was looking at all the charts you sent me today, Paul. We'll talk about some of them tonight. But I'm looking at right now the Dick Cheney one. And
right.
You tell me if I'm reading this correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, from 97 to 2006, man, he's all over there. He's spiking.
And not only that, George, let me interrupt you for a minute. If you pull out the president's run and you sit them next to each other, you would swear that the president was Dick Cheney.
Yeah, exactly. Then I, of course, ask the question, where is Dick Cheney? Because nobody really knows where the guy is right now. He doesn't really appear that much. From 2007 or the end of 2006, he disappears.
Out.
He disappears.
It just disappears.
Then he comes back in 2013. So my guess, you tell me what you think of this, is I think 2013 is a health-related issue, and something happens.
I think that late 2006, early 2007 could be that. I wouldn't be at all surprised, for instance, to see the vice president retire over the next, 15 months or thereabouts, or to have another heart attack and be forced into retirement.
Yeah, because it's flat. He's flatlined in these years that I'm looking at. But
and there's also other possibilities. One of the things you'll notice if you take a look at all of the administration players, whether it's Cheney or the president or Condi Rice or I forget who else. I think I gave you the run for the 2004 election results.
Yes.
And so on. One of the things that you find in the mid-2006 to early 2007 juncture on time track after time track after time track is that they all undergo this enormous change at that point. Now, when we first saw that, as far back as maybe 3-4 years ago, we scratched our heads. In fact, when we were on your show talking about the 2004 election,
mm-hmm.
we essentially said, look, it's almost as though this election isn't going to matter exactly because the big change point is going to come along in 06. And now we're in 06. It looks very much like the Democrats may capture one or both of the houses in the Congress. There are, there are partisans running away from the president in terms of support at this point. You're hearing it from conservatives. Yesterday, even John McCain was going on about it. So that if there's going to be a huge change that's going to have a tremendous impact on who's running things and what's going on and whether there's moves toward, say, impeachment or something like that, we would see it in the period of time between now and probably the late spring, early summer of next year. And if you look at the time tracks, you can't help but notice this change.
And it would show up as a spike, right?
It would show up as a spike or a complete drop-off. An ending of a trend line.
Stay with us, Paul. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, as I mentioned, 14 issues for the price of 12 with the very special After Dark newsletter. You can call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Paul Gersio, the Merlin Project. He's got a couple websites. One, of course, is called projectmerlin.com. The other is Time Track with a K, T-R-A-K, coasttocoastam.org, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest, Paul Gersio. Paul, I've never asked you this question before, but because of George's involvement with the high-level ends of government and your knowledge of that, does the government, do members of the government regularly get information from Merlin on events, world events?
Well, you know, you actually did ask something like that once before, and we're very surprised at the answer. So let me remind you, in the middle 90s, we were approached by a unit of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, something called the Joint War Fighting Center, which was located at Fort Monroe in Virginia. And we were told that we had been under surveillance for 3.5 years. And that they asked us if we would please put a white paper together on exactly what we were doing, and the subject matter was up to us. We could choose whatever we wanted. We decided, because in the previous month, Timothy McVeigh blew up the Mora building in Oklahoma City, to focus on domestic terrorism, and we used the World Trade Center bombing of 1993 as our time model. So when we submitted this thing in the late summer, early fall of 1995, it included information and projections for what later became 9/11.
And
40 copies of this thing are still sitting in drawers in the Pentagon someplace. Something I wanted to make a quick correction to you, and I also invite your audience to join in and do this. The Time Tracks with an S. It's Time Tracks, no C, but with an S, .org.
All right, that's typed wrong then on my sheet.
Right. Okay. It's Time Tracks, TimeTracks.org. If they go to that website, they can actually look at the Time Tracks we're talking about tonight and see exactly. They can look at Dick Cheney. They can look at the president. They can look at, I mean, there's hundreds of them up there. They're welcome to go look and actually make their own conclude, look at them and say, what would I have said if I was looking at this? Okay, because it's much more fun for those people who are internet-enabled to go to timetracks.org and actually take a look at these things and see what we saw when we first looked at them. And if you look up in the upper right-hand corner of each of these, you'll find out when we actually ran that time track. In other words, there's a date stamp on there of when it was run, and up in the left-hand corner, there's what we call the genesis date. One other quick thing. You brought up Dick Cheney. Let me add to that a little. Dick Cheney is what we call a time twin, and his time twin is Dick Gebhardt.
Now, what does that mean, time
twin? They were
twin.
Born within the same 24 hours in the same year. Now, that would suggest that time would treat them in similar ways.
Well,
and valleys, from that moment forward, which is the time capsule each one of them is riding, would have the same hills and valleys. Well, if you check their careers, when they entered the Congress, when the big moves happened in their political careers, you'll find out that they are the identical years, even down to the fact that they both have gay daughters.
That's interesting. But Gebhardt, of course, has faded away, as you well know.
Yes, but when the last big change happened that put the vice president in office and Dick Gebhardt sort of back on the street, it happened at the same time.
Yeah, that is something. So that basically gives you more credence in Merlin's ability.
Well, it's one of those things that we watch carefully because of your colleague Art Bell and the fellow who prosecuted the war in Iraq, Tommy Franks, have the identical birthday. They're both June 17th, 1945. And if you take a look at the year that Art left the full-time position that you moved into,
mm-hmm,
was the same spring of the year that Tommy Franks prosecuted the war in Iraq. Now, That's not coincidence. That's timing. Okay. And one of the things that we do that people are less aware of is that we're not so much in the forecasting business, although we do a lot of that. And the first time that somebody comes in to see us, we're dealing nearly always with dates that are already what we might call in progress.
Right.
Their birthday, the start date of their business, and so on. But once they realize that all moments have this kind of pathway into the future, then it occurs to them that it might be useful to pick a date in the future that has a particular pathway that matches what they have in mind to do. So start a job, start a company, have surgery done, make a big move in their life. And if they manage to, one of the things that your listeners did, a number of them, was used us to pick dates to put houses on the market, because we're getting into a very soft real estate market.
As a matter of fact, the housing glut is growing every day.
Correct. And people have said to me, well, how could picking a particular moment affect that? And the answer is, you don't need to reach everybody. You just need to reach somebody who wants to buy your house.
Who wants to buy your house. That's right. Let's go back and look at some of the past predictions of Merlin and get your reaction, because some of these are absolutely uncanny. In August 30th, 2004, when you were basically, I think that was first on the show, that date.
First time I think we were on was in 03.
03. Okay.
Yes.
Iran, we talk about what's going on. And from 2004 to 2006, you interpret Merlin as saying a high level of activity, which could indicate some type of attack. And, you know, what are we talking about now?
Well, it's very interesting, because on your show in, I think it was in 04, that George made a point of mentioning that not only was the situation in Iran about to heat up, but the situation in North Korea was about to heat up. And I don't think even a week went by before the big splash on the headlines was North Korea, and they were saber rattling at that point. That was when they launched a rocket over Japan into the Sea of Japan, I believe it was, and the Iranian nuclear threat sort of came to the fore again. And George had only mentioned that on your show. In fact, we have sound bites from that on the website, on projectmerlin.com, that your listeners can go and actually listen to that piece where we actually talked about that. And George was not only was right on target in terms of that, but it was so uncanny that it was, I think, about a week, maybe two, but certainly no more than that, when it became the definitive news story in that month or that several weeks. So there's where Merlin can give, or if you take a look, for instance, at the Israeli run, which I sent you tonight, you basically see huge spikes going on in 2000 and 2001 when the Israelis first began to give back the territories, and then it sort of quiets down. And in 2002 and 3 and 4 and 5,
very flat.
It's very flat. But notice where it ratchets up.
Right at this period.
Right now.
Right now.
And it doesn't stop. It continues. So that when we looked at that Israeli run, for instance, and people said, well, is this just going to be the usual skirmish? The answer is, not this time.
Okay, what kind of data do you feed Merlin on a country? How does that work?
Well, in the case of the State of Israel, look at the date we used.
Okay, so the Genesis date is 5/14/48.
It's Independence Day.
Okay.
For the United States, we use the 4th of July in 1776. For Israel, we use the 14th of May, 1948, because that's when the British turned over the territory to the Israelis. And that moment in time is the moment in time when effectively that entity came into being. And, you know, again, people can say, well, why would that have anything to do with anything? Well, maybe because moments of time are much more unique than we ever imagined.
It's beginning to appear that it's very important.
It is very important.
You, through Merlin, talked about the period of 2010 to 2012, which I find to be one of the most phenomenal of everything. because you said it was unusual that 4 out of 6 people seemed to have very high levels on their chart. You speculated that either an asteroid could hit or a very rapid climate change or something major
or a whole series of
will
those.
Affect people dramatically.
One of the things I included with the pack of material that you got tonight, we took the Mayan calendar's end date, which is December 22nd of 2012, and we ran it backwards to see if it picked up that grouping of years from, let's say, 2008 or 9 through 2012-13. In other words, whether, in fact, there was any indication that those years leading up to that end date were going to be in any way interesting. Well, take a look at the timeline.
Well, going back, it's huge.
It's huge.
11, 10, 9, right around that period.
Huge.
8. Yep.
Huge. And notice where it comes to an abrupt halt.
Right at the end of 2012.
Right at the end of 2012. I have to tell you,
but
that
just...
when I ran that, the hair on the back of my head stood up. Because I was not expecting to see anything quite that dramatic.
And for the entire chart, beginning in 1996, it's relatively flat.
That's right. That's right. And so it confirms this thing that we first noticed when we started running these things back in 1989, 1990. And that is that a disproportionate number of people, say as many as 3 out of 6, when really Merlin should only show high levels of activity at any given moment for about 1 out of 6. So about 16% of the population at any given moment ought to be getting married, getting divorced, having kids, losing parents, getting seriously ill, winning lotteries, etc. About 1 out of 6. But in the years from about 2008 to about 2013, on a disproportionate number of these, we were seeing an exaggerated level of activity, so much so that George and I both kind of looked at each other and said, "What is this? You know, this doesn't make sense unless there's some series of events coming along in that period of time that's going to have a much larger effect on a much larger number of people within the same time frame that we would not ordinarily expect to see."
Okay, so we know that with a tremendous amount of people, there's going to be spikes. We know, looking at your Mayan calendar chart, that things are starting to heat up 2008 through 2012. Then how can we find, Paul, other things that may lead us to the reason why these occur? I mean,
well, here's something I wanted to start off the hour with. So if I have time, I'll do it right now. One of the things that's folded into, and if we don't finish it, we'll carry it over to the next hour
because
this is something that your audience can play with. One of the things that's folded into Merlin is some of these very time-honored increments of time that I've discovered over the years are common to all of these ancient civilizations. One of them is approximately 7 years. It's actually 6.5 to 8. That's actually the interval. And that interval of approximately 7 years, if you take any important event that happened in your life, so I'm talking about real serious stuff. You got married, you had a serious accident, you started your career that then, you know, became your lifetime work or something.
Good or bad.
On a particular date. If you add 7 years to that, or the other increments that are extrapolations, that is 21 years, so 3 times 7, and 42 years, okay, 6 times 7, you will get the iterations of that event. So in other words, at the 7-year mark, 7 years later, you'll see fallout from the original event. At the 21-year mark, so 21 years after the original event, you will see almost something identical to the original event occurring. And if you're old enough, you can back up by the same number of increments. So in other words, you can take an event that happened to you at 35 and back it up 7 years to see where it came from. What started the mechanism that produced the event at 35? It happened somewhere around 27 or 28 or early 29. And if you go back that 7-year increment, or in the case of the 35, you can go back 21 years. You can go all the way back to 14 and see what was going on in your early teen years that set up the circumstances for things that were going to happen at 35. So let's take December 12th, or 22nd rather, 2012, and back it up by 6.5 to 8 years. That would be the increment of time that would have started in the summer of 2005 and lasted until at least the summer of 2006. And the events within that 12-month period would have been the leading edge to things that might culminate 7 years down the line. Okay, so what was going on? Well, some very strange weather, some of the worst hurricanes that have ever hit this country all at once. I mean, Florida got hit with 8 of them in a 2-year period of time. We had the outbreak of this war again in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
We had a changing of the guard in terms of major political figures. Ariel Sharon, who was the last of the old guard, sort of in Israel, passed on and passed the mantle on to other people who seemed to be far less capable of marshaling some of the military might of Israel. We used to think they were invincible. Look what just happened. Okay. If you take a look at near misses in terms of asteroids, there were at least 2 near misses in that 12 months. Okay, the bird flu issue of it not only surfacing but perhaps
or looming,
mutating
at least, yeah.
into a form that's communicable in that period of time. Al Gore's movie and these issues of global warming. In fact, ABC, I understand, I think it's next week, next Wednesday or something, is doing a special on ways in which, you know, we could have the end of the world happen. Okay, if you actually make note of some of the important high water marks, literally, that happened in that 12 months that started in the summer of 05. That's the leading edge for the 7 years that hits in December of 2012.
Why does it seem to work in 7-year increments?
That I can't tell you.
Okay.
The only thing that's interesting about that is that there are pulses in the solar system that even the planets respond to that operate in those increments. So perhaps there is what I like to think of as the kind of heartbeat of the universe that operates in 7-year intervals and filters down into absolutely everything around us.
It is an amazing piece of software.
It is.
It really is. Paul, when we come back at the top of the hour, I'm going to throw headlines to you, like the State of Israel, like Iraq, and you tell me what Merlin says about these various
Sounds
things.
Good to me, George.
Okay, stay with us. And both those websites, it's timetracks.org, projectmerlin.com. Lex tells me they're already linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Go ahead and take a look at some of the many things that they have on the Merlin Project websites. So we'll be back in a moment. Last hour, we'll open up the phone lines, give you an opportunity to talk with Paul as well. I'll be back.